Welcome to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast, the only podcast entirely dedicated to helping you achieve rent to rent success. We talk about the ethical way to get you started in property without buying it. This is our place to inspire each other to believe bigger, to be bolder, and to be game changers for good. Property investors and sisters Stephanie and Nikki Taylor are your guides on this exciting ride. Let's start up the engines and get ready to fly. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Rent to Rent Success Podcast. I'm thrilled and delighted today to have with me Ken and Mary Okorafor. And they're married with two children. They're people of faith who've achieved financial independence, including being mortgage-free before the age of 34. They're authors of the new book, Financial Joy, a 10-week plan to help you banish debt, grow your money, and unlock financial freedom. And we're going to tell you a bit more about that book as we go through this. They're founders of The Humble Penny and the Financial Joy Academy, and they've got a mission to help people create financial freedom and ultimately design a life of financial joy. Their work has helped over 5 million people to improve their relationship with money, and they've been featured on the BBC, ITV, British Vogue, Channel 4, Financial Times, Sunday Times, and many, many more. They're winners of the British Black Business Awards 2023. And also, I have a personal relationship with Ken and Mary because I joined their Financial Joy Academy. And what I love about it, I joined because I wanted to learn more about how to invest my money. As you know, when you get involved in business, you start making money and then you have investment decisions and decisions about tax and lots of things where you've got to learn a different way of relating with money. And that is why I joined the Financial Joy Academy. The knowledge there is real. It's step by step about how to build wealth so you can experience the joy of having flexibility and freedom, because choosing how to spend your time is the greatest gift that we can have. And choosing how you spend your time is choosing how you spend your life. And we were just talking just before we started rolling that Ken and Mary have been invited on to speak with the government and do projects with the UK government. They've been invited on to do workshops and projects with Netflix and Apple and many, many more. So I'm really grateful to you guys for spending the time with us today to help us to get better with money.
Wow.
Oh, that's an amazing intro, Stephanie. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's an absolute honor to be on your podcast.
Absolutely.
So we love everything that you do.
Yes, we absolutely do. And we have to say as well, you delivered an incredible masterclass inside of Financial Joy Academy,
yes,
which remains extremely popular, talking about rent-to-rent success and how to go about doing it. So we literally love everything that you're doing. So thank you for having us.
Well, thanks, Ken and Mary. And what I'd like to start off with is how you got started in this, because you were just minding your own business in professional careers.
Yeah,
and then suddenly you've blown up to where the government and Apple and Netflix are wanting to work with you. So tell us about the very beginnings and how you got started.
Do you know what? I don't even think of it as blowing up, you know. We're just like, I don't know how to put it. We're just waking up every day to things happening, and we're like, wow, this is really interesting, and we're literally thanking God for open doors. But yeah. How did it all start? Well, I always go back to 2017. That's when the Humble Penny began as an idea. It wasn't like an idea with a strategy and plans. It was literally like, I'm tired of my cubicle and I want like a different side hustle or something that was much more impactful. They shared the journey that Mary and I had been on to build wealth as a couple, but shared it with people who were almost, who might even not even have known that they needed that knowledge, but actually needed it practically. Because I worked in venture capital, and in that space, people are like, oh, I've got 10 million. I want to invest in companies. So it is a very big wealth divide. You know, every day I'm seeing people with like tens of millions, but then in reality, the people we'd see outside of work were really struggling. So the Humble Penny began as an idea for us to share our lived experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mary, let me ask you, because one of the things that's interesting from your story is that you became financially free and mortgage-free by the age of 34. So tell us how you got to that point, what sparked it all off, and what you actually did.
So, you know, taking it a bit back a bit, Ken and I met in 2009, funny enough, at a property seminar. And we got talking, got chatting, and yeah, before you knew it, we got into a relationship. We realized pretty much early on in our relationship that we had similar goals and we wanted a life that was different to what we saw, you know, our parents having, Ken being a first generation immigrant and me being born to first generation immigrants. And so we wanted a life that was quite different for ourselves. So we both intentionally set out to want to become financially free. That was our goal. And we created a 10-year plan when we were newly engaged. I think it was in 2010. We were on a beach in Pongwe and we had our notepad and pen. And yeah, we were just dreaming together. And part of our 10-year goal is that we wanted to actually become mortgage free. But we were able to achieve it even sooner because we were both on the same page. So I guess that's how it started. Even before we got married, we were very intentional about our goal of becoming financially independent. And I guess that's what helped to dictate like certain things that we did, the goals that we set, the lifestyle that we lived. And yeah, I guess it accelerated it in that way.
Yeah, we met doing a commitment wall. There's a thing called a commitment wall, which is a task that we got set at this conference. It was a Rich Dad, Poor Dad conference. And they were like, oh, yeah, you need to write down what your commitments are and like what you want to achieve out of your life and stuff. So it was really looking back, it's interesting that we actually met writing down like as strangers. We were writing on the wall, like,
yeah,
I want to own a home that has its own front door. I want a kitchen with an island. I want this. I want to achieve, you know, this is what we were doing. And we didn't know that one day we'd become a married couple.
Yeah.
But we were doing this task on the wall. We've even got a picture of it, which is hilarious. Mary's brother took it because Mary's brother came with Mary to the conference. Yeah. So he took that photo. So it's interesting looking back at that. You know, that was almost the beginning phases. So I think one thing that united us was just a common mindset. That, you know what, this is kind of what we want out of our lives for the future. And around that time, we started investing in the stock market. So 2010 was our beginning phase. And we thought we were late, like everybody else. Everyone was always like, oh, I'm late to investing. I should maybe not invest because I'm too late. We were thinking the same in 2010, you know. But then we started. And at the same time, we were working on our careers. So a lot of these things were starting to kick off. You know, trying to get onto a property ladder, exploring different other ways to make money, like starting a business, you know, going into joint ventures with family members. A lot of those things were starting to kick off around 2009, 2010, 2011, thereabouts. In 2012, actually 2013, we became parents. So a lot of that was starting to kick off around that season. And it's funny how, like, when you're aiming for a goal like that, you never really know when you're going to achieve it. And there wasn't like fireworks that went off when we achieved it. Cause I think the most tangible thing was when we became mortgage free, because it's tangible. Like you can relate to it. You can go like, actually I feel this every day, but when your net worth crosses a certain level, we didn't even like go like, whoa, like, yay. Like any, we just like, it was just like a number on a spreadsheet. It wasn't like a big explosion or anything or celebration, but I think the most tangible thing was actually paying the house off as well as then seeing progress in other areas.
That's really interesting. And it just reminds me of something that I heard recently. I was listening to a podcast and what I heard was, the name will come back to me in a moment, but happiness is progress. So sometimes we think happiness, we'll feel happy when we achieve the goal of a certain amount of net worth or when we have the house or when the mortgage is paid off. But actually the happiness and the joy is in the progress. You know, we are in a different place than we were in last year or last month or last week or yesterday. And that is where the joy comes from. And I think you're a testament to that from your journey. One thing that I do want to go into a little bit, because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're in London.
We live just on the outskirts of London. We live in Dartford.
So we can walk to a Zone 6 station. Yeah, like I said.
Yeah. Well, that was probably a decision as well.
Yes, deliberately.
It was because we moved out of London. That's the thing. When we were looking at a place that we could call home, and, you know, we wanted a house. Mm. We wanted our own driveway and all of these things that we knew that if we stayed in London, we could achieve it with our salaries at the time, with our joint salaries. But we knew that we had a 10-year plan and we wanted to pay off our mortgage quicker, and buying a property in London would not help us to achieve that desire, that goal. So
anyway, you were going to ask me, I think. Yeah.
The reason why I want to ask this question is we have many listeners of the podcast, many of our Kickstarters, and, you know, normally we're on here talking about business and in particular a rent-to-rent business. But I know that many of our listeners either have their own home and want to buy a rental property, or they don't have their own home yet and they want to buy property. And what will be blowing their minds is, how can you be mortgage free at the age of 34? And so firstly, what you said is you deliberately chose that and you bought an appropriately priced property for your plans. Mm-hmm. And therefore you were willing to move out of London, which a lot of people are very resistant to.
I hear that.
So tell us, how did you manage to pay down your mortgage, and how many years was it?
It was 7 years that we, it was a little over 7 years. Was around, basically 7 years as a rounded number. But we hadn't started like that. It wasn't like we were like, oh, we're going to pay off in 7 years. That wasn't the goal. We started off with a 25-year mortgage. Mm-hmm. And our thing was always, because we understood the maths around how compounding interest works and how debt works, we've always known that debt is a tool, right? So debt, you know, debt can be used in different ways for either building wealth or for doing other things, right? So, but we also understood that in a way that compounding interest works to help our investments in stock market work, it also works against us from a debt perspective. And because the motivation had come from watching our parents, in that it was very difficult because our parents started home ownership very late. Mm-hmm. So because they started late, it meant that, like, when my dad, for example, had retired, they still hadn't paid the mortgage off. Mm. So seeing that was a big, like, you know, I didn't want us to end up in that sort of scenario. Mm. Yeah. And plus, Mary and I always had this long-term vision of trying to, you know, leave the corporate world and, you know, kind of just have much more flexibility, you know, almost like location independent, work from anywhere in the world. And we always knew that having a mortgage just for us wasn't the thing we wanted in our personal lives. Didn't mean that we couldn't have mortgage for investment purposes. It just meant that for our own personal costs, we just didn't want to really have one that dragged us down. So the big thing that helped us was then focusing on how do overpayments work for mortgages, and how can we use that for our advantage? And so understanding that overpayments effectively reduced the power of compounding interest and shaved off years of a mortgage empowered us, actually, because we're like, wow, so that means, like, as much as we can overpay, we can pay this thing off quicker. So it went from like 25 years to about 22 years. Then it went to, I think, around 15 years, then went down to about 12 years. Then we're like, wow, imagine if we did it in 10 years. Then it became 10, then it became like, so we just, as you were getting closer, there's a lot more momentum and you're like throwing literally everything at it. Any bonus you got from work, if you found 20 quid in this, sometimes I see 20 quid in like the storage, like a Mary's drawer. I'm like, babe, this is money that's wasting. You're losing purchasing power with this money here. Let's get some return with it. Go and pay into the bank. Either we invest it or overpay the mortgage with that. So it was
no spare change is safe when Ken's around. Yeah, that can go towards mortgage.
That can go towards something. Because it's every pound matters, right? Like, we're called the humble penny for a reason. Like, every single pound and penny matters, right? And you have to give money that respect. You have to understand that, like, every pound has a potential future. Like, a pound could become £2 effectively in around 7 to 8 years, depending on what you do with it, or it could become zero, right? So it's like, okay, if you understand that, then it's like, okay, what could I do with that knowledge? So that's where that whole drive of trying to see if we can get this done quite quickly started to happen. But it's not something that that was popular, because you got to remember, we're doing this when interest rates were like very low. And so a lot of people were like, you guys are mad. Like, why are you paying off a property when the debt's so cheap? Like, what's the point? You know, But then we had a dual strategy of investing in the stock market whilst doing that, because we didn't just want to just throw everything into a house. So we were also investing in stock market. We had a joint venture, got business opportunities. We've got other things going on. Mm-hmm. But we knew that when you pay off a house whilst interest rates are quite low, you're paying off mostly capital. You're not really, your money is not really being dragged down by the force of interest. So a lot of the time we were paying off capital. And for us, we were okay with that, even though I know logically, you know, people would be, like some people would be going, oh my God, how's that even? You shouldn't be doing that. And we completely get it, but we wanted the mental freedom that comes with mortgage freedom, as well as the what it's created in terms of like possibility, you know, because like now it's insane, you know, just in terms of how much, just freedom much more generally, the opportunity for all your income now to go into other things, like what you say about maybe 70% or more of what we generate now goes into other investments, you know, outside of just having fun and paying your council tax or whatever.
Yeah, and it also brings us quite a lot of peace, especially as people who run, you know, our own business, both of us in it, you know, with the option of early retirement. We know that we have that one thing we don't have to worry about, which is our mortgage.
Yeah, self-employed life's not very easy, is it, sometimes?
Up and down.
Yeah, I really like it because obviously as a property investor, you do leverage the power of being able to borrow other people's money at low interest rates, etc., to be able to make. But it makes total sense to me also paying off your own property that you live in, if that gives you that peace and that calm and that tranquility. And then it frees up all the other money that you would have been paying to the mortgage to be able to go and invest in other assets that do make money. And I think from what you said, a few things have come out. So we've talked a little bit about this mortgage, and that was definitely a choice for you and the decisions you made to be able to own your own home outright within 7 years. So huge kudos for that. And the second things that I know that you talk about from being in the Financial Joy Academy is one of them you've already mentioned. Well, both of them you've already mentioned, in fact. One is investing, how to make your money make more money, how to make your money work hard so you don't have to. And the second one is business, creating more money for those investment purposes.
Yeah.
So where would you say for someone to get started if they're listening to this and they're thinking, I don't even know how to invest in the stock market, which was the position that I was in a few years ago. What exactly, how does it work? What do people do? What would be your first step suggestion for them?
So I'd say you should only really invest money if you've got some goals. So a lot of people invest money because it sounds cool and sounds interesting and fun, but a lot of those people lose their money actually. So what you don't want to do is be led almost emotionally with investing. So you need to begin with a really clear, tangible goal. And then that goal has to then be connected to a strategy. And the strategy is where investing comes into the picture, because investing is just a way of achieving something, an outcome. So when it comes to investing, though, there's different approaches. Do you want to speak to trading and kind of like why people shouldn't?
Yeah, so, you know, essentially there's active investing and then there's passive investing. And, you know, a lot of people know about the active investing because there's a lot of noise about it online. Like everybody's telling you to start trading. So an example of active investing is trading. But with trading, it's actually quite difficult to make money from it. Even the most professional traders lose a lot of money from trading, let alone beginners who are being told that you can learn how to trade, you know, just put in a few hours a day. And so it's fine if you want to do that, but we wouldn't really necessarily recommend that you do. We suggest more passive investing, for example, investing in index funds or ETFs within a stocks and shares ISA, for example. So that's one of the first things that we'd, you know, say that if you haven't started investing yet, that's a route that you should look towards.
And just to add to that as well, just for those who don't understand what on earth any of that means, what we mean is, imagine that you have got an Apple phone and you like Apple because you're like, you know what, I like Apple, I use it, it's great. And you're like, I want to go and buy an Apple stock. That's, you know, you could buy an Apple stock, but then you are then faced with the risk that Apple stock goes up and down daily. some days it goes up, you're excited, like, yay. And then it goes down, you're like, oh no, would I lose all my money? So that's one way of doing things. Another way of doing things is saying, well, actually, why don't I buy some of the best companies in the world? Imagine I had a way of having them all in a basket. And I'm like, do you know what? I'm going to have Netflix, Apple, Tesla, Microsoft, Google, Amazon. I'm going to have them all. And so that way, you have a bit more peace of mind because your money is spread across some of the best performing companies in the world. So if one's not doing so well, you're not panicking and losing your mind. You're like, that's okay, because, like, you know, I'm investing for the long term. So where Mary's saying, talking about index funds, an index fund's basically a list of companies that you buy into, basically, that every time you put £1 or £100, it's spread across all those companies. So that way your money is diversified whilst also giving you the returns from those companies.
Yeah, and I'm perplexed now because I used to find this so confusing. I would have listened to that and thought, I don't get it. What's my first move? But having done it now on the other side, it's easier opening a stocks and shares ISA and putting your money there every month than it was, in some cases, opening a bank account. So what I love about it is when you, some of your blog posts, maybe you can point me in the right direction and I could share the links. But when I first came onto the compound interest, because of course everyone's heard compound interest is magic, the seventh wonder of the world, or the eighth wonder, is it? But you don't really realize it till you see it written down on the compound interest calculators. So I'd seen some of these compound interest calculators. So for you, for example, you're no longer paying your mortgage. You can then take your mortgage and whatever you were paying and say, right, if we pay into this every month, this amount for the next, I don't know how many years, in 10 years, in 20 years, it's a phenomenal amount. And I realized that with a small amount of money, my son, for example, if he was putting that in, he could easily become a millionaire, a multimillionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Just with that one thing, putting into the index funds. And then if you layer on top of that, also having a business, having more income coming in, mm-hmm. but investing in other types of assets, mm-hmm. you can really see it's this sort of spin wheel where, you know, the rich get richer. That's how it happens because suddenly all your money is making money. And then you're investing that. And then you've got businesses making money and then money's coming to you. Exactly. And it's just crazy how quickly it happens because you're talking about starting this in 2017, I think you said.
When we started investing. Was 2017. Yes. Yeah.
And when you started investing, when was that?
2010.
So for you, it's been 13 years. And I noticed that on your things, you don't go into your own portfolio, but I'm guessing that the percentage growth has been...
It's been phenomenal because we've got a mixture of investments. And actually, we go into it quite... We've done a video actually that goes into the funds, actual funds we've invested in and stuff like that, as well as a blog post. Mm-hmm. But we go into it a lot in our book in detail because we want to just have that transparency for people. So, and we state specifics like this, obviously not financial advice, but we just want people to have some ideas. But we have a mixture of things. So we've got a mixture of index funds and ETFs that we invested in. And we also have some individual stocks that we purchased many years ago when we began this journey of investing. Some of them lost money, but most of them have made money. So it's worth mentioning losses because those are real as well. But like I said, that's detailed in our book in a phenomenal chapter, in chapter week 7, because the book is a 10-week plan.
Yes. So
in week 7, it's all about investing for financial freedom. So
that
chapter goes into a lot of like detail for people who want to learn how to do that.
That's actually phenomenal because... I've just put up on the screen for those of you watching on YouTube, or if you're watching on the Rent to Rent Success website, or if you want to go over there, if you're on the podcast, it's renttorentsuccess.com/202. And you'll be able to see us on screen. And also all the links will be there in the show notes. But there's Genius. It's GENI.US/financialjoy. And if you go to that website, you can get the book and everything else. And I really do urge you to buy this book. if you're not already investing in the stock market, or even if you are and you want to up level across the board in getting yourself to not only financial independence, but financial joy, that space where you really get to create the life you want because you get the freedom of how to spend your time. I think that's phenomenal, because that investment part is so important.
It's so key. Can I just explain something that will really light, almost be a light bulb for people? So there's a rule called the rule of 72 that I used to explain things to people. So imagine you've got two people. One person has £1,000 and the other person has, let's say, £100,000, right? And they're both investing in exactly the same thing. Both of them invest in the same thing. The rule of 72 says, tells you how quickly your money will double in anything you invest in. So if you take the number 72 and divide it by the rate of return that you get when you invest your money, that will tell you how many years it will take for the money to double. So that's the compound interest working. So let's say that those people both invested and they got a 7% return from investing their money on average. That means that 72 divided by 7 is 10.2, right? That means it would take 10.2 years for both people's money to double. So that one person who had £1,000, their 1 grand will go to 2 grand after 10.2 years. But the interesting thing with the other person who had 100 grand, their 100 grand go from 100 grand to 200 grand in 10.2 years. However, the key difference obviously is that the utility of money is different, because someone earning an extra, generating an extra 100K is a life changer compared to somebody generating an extra £1,000. This is why people who had money during COVID actually got wealthier for doing nothing, because they just had their money in the right environment and that money just kept working and working and working. And so effectively, if you think about it, if you're not investing at all, then your money never ever gets anywhere, really. You're always like, you're always working hard when you can actually work smart. Because working smart is saying, how can I get money to do the work? Mm-hmm. And you understand it's all about, it's logic. It's just, it's maths, right? It's a numbers game. It's how can I put my money in the right environment consistently enough for it to work for me over time? Such that as time passes, you're like, you know what? I can dial down my hours. I can afford to do 3 days a week or 2 days a week, because like my portfolio is actually quite healthy and it's generating a dividend that gives me income, or I'm running a side hustle and that's producing some passive income. There's so many different ways, but the investing is almost like a machine to help to just like keep the thing going over the years. Yeah. And it, you know, it's even Warren Buffett became wealthier, I believe, after the age of 51. Yeah. Than before that, because, you know, the effect of compounding had been going. So that's why even now, Mary and I, we don't worry about our kids at all. We know in their 20s, they're going to become financially free. Like, we already know that because we started that investing journey since they were born.
And it's with their money, their birthday money and stuff like that, that we're chucking into their investment. So, yeah, we're co-investors with our children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ken gave some relatable numbers, like 1,000 and 100,000. But then imagine someone with 1 million and theirs doubling to 2 million. There's so much more you can do with an extra million than what you can do with an extra 1,000. You know, which is to the point that you made, Stephanie, about the rich getting richer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's so opening and inspirational to think I can start from where I am. You know, if I've only got an extra £100 a month, I can start there and double my money, and then I can go up from there and up from there. And I think once you start seeing those results, you start thinking, what else can I do? What else can I do? What about business? What about... you know, and I know that you coach people on getting a raise at work.
Yes. Well,
one of the things that I love about you both is your clarity. And I know to get that clarity of how you put things across and the way you explain things, you have to go through a lot of complexity to bring it to us in that very clear way where we can take actions upon it. Mm-hmm. So I would love to hear from you, because it really comes to life when you hear actual people's stories. So it'd be great, Mary, maybe if you could give us a story of some of the people you've worked with and how knowing this info has helped them.
Yes. So As you mentioned before, we have a community Financial Joy Academy, and it's a membership where we have people, like-minded people, who want to create a different life for them financially. So whether that's via career maximization, creating a business, a side hustle, or investing in a stock market or within property. And so we have quite a few success stories within our community. So we have, for example, people have gone into joint ventures where they have brought commercial property and they're doing it up together. We have an example of a dream maker. We can mention his name, Tando, because he's actually one of the case studies in our book. And in 3 years that he's been exposed to our work, his income has risen from 50K to over 130K. And so that was via the career maximization route. We do fortnightly coaching calls with where the dream makers submit questions in advance, and then we then tackle them live on a Zoom call. And yeah, so Tando has definitely benefited from that coaching, and yeah, in terms of maximizing his career.
There's many others.
There's many other examples and success stories, but you know, those are a few that we can think of. And then yeah, Nemi. So she, as I mentioned, she bought a commercial property and she converted it into a shop and 4 flats. Uh-huh. Yeah, so that was a big success story. And she also now helps other people within the community who want to do something similar, just to talk them through the ropes. So we do like masterminds once a month, property masterminds, where people who are also interested in doing similar things, they come in the call, and then, yeah, they just all come together and share knowledge.
There's another case study of a lady. She works in social work,
yes.
And she created her own blog using our guide and stuff in our community. And we interviewed her because we wanted her to really share her story. And she's a very busy mum of 3 children. And her blog generates $4,500 per month in passive income.
Yeah, she's smashing it.
And it's insane. It's another lady who called a July Dreamer. That's her website. Mm-hmm. Last we spoke to her, she bought 3 buy-to-let properties in the 3 years that she's been at FJA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Oxford, mm-hmm. in around mm-hmm. Oxford. So there's so many of these like pockets of things. There's a guy called Daryl. Daryl's our first ever community member. He's member number one. Daryl started investing in our community, and his portfolio has gone up to more than 30% in the 3 years that he's been investing. And he's had 2 pay rises. The last one he had was about £20,000. So there are all these like pockets of things that are happening. Pippa is another one. Pippa started a membership business and onboarded 24 monthly paying members into her side hustle. She's a business analyst. And her membership platform now creates passive income for her. And her goal is to become mortgage free, I think she said in 10 or 12 years or something mm-hmm. like that. So in addition to her job, she generates that income from her business, and is now teaching other people how to level up and get into the area of business analysis as a career and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So, and these are just the things we know about. There's so many things that we don't even know about. Like, mm-hmm. unless people message us and say, oh, here's what's happened to my life, and from watching your stuff, we're like, whoa, we're like, let's make a note of that, you know. So there's so many often that, you know, we're really honored to be in a position that we're helping people for these things to happen. That for us is like where the joy comes, where you're like, you wake up every day, you're like, wow, like the work we're doing, look what impact that's having. That's huge.
It's so life-changing. And I recognize some of the names you're saying from the community, and I've actually know the people, and I've heard them tell their story, and I've seen them go from like just being at their work and being lacking in confidence, etc., to really showing up visibly and making those massive leaps. So yeah, again, it is testament to the work you do. And not only that, because this information maybe is out there for people, but not in a relatable, step-by-steppable, inspirational, hand-holding, hugging way that you get in the FJA. And so I just want to say,
thank you.
If you're interested on Instagram, you can join. You can find out more and sort of get involved at Financial Joy Academy. And you can also visit on The Humble Penny as well, thehumblepenny.com. So that was good to hear some case studies. What do you think are the mistakes that people make, you know, in this area? Why is not everybody getting to where they need to be, even people on a high income?
So I think that there's a big, I wouldn't call this a mistake necessarily, but more what we're sold as a society is there's a consumerist culture that exists in society that we, a lot of us buy into. And that consumerist culture means that we end up in a situation where every single month for a lot of us, our incomes are tied to a lifestyle that we've created for ourselves that often exceeds our true needs. Mm-hmm. So what you find is that some people, even though they might be making like amazing incomes, I give, we have a case that we actually did on our site of someone who said they make 10K a month net, but they struggle to save 1K a month.
Wow.
Exactly. So you went, wow, right? So if I said 10K a month, most people will go, that's my dream number.
Yeah.
But if you're struggling to save 1K a month, then that tells you that, whoa, there's something seriously wrong, right? Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of the time, it's actually, people don't realize they've almost slept into that situation. Oftentimes, it's just like peer pressure, like, oh, you know, you suddenly take on an expense because you see other people doing stuff.
Lifestyle creep.
Lifestyle creep. Yeah. And your partner might say, oh, why don't we upgrade our house and move to, you know, a 5-bed detached, or, you know, and suddenly you do it and you pay 20K stamp duty, you pay this, your mortgage thing's gone up, or you suddenly buy that car and then the company says to you, the car company says, oh, well, you know, like it's £500 a month. And you're like, well, actually I can afford that. You know, when you've got all these per month, it adds up, you know. But then if you are someone who is at a place where you have much more financial security, yes, you can enjoy those things. You can buy a nice car, you can do, because you've actually built up to that level where you've created that life. But for a lot of people, they're trying to have that thing now without, you know, giving up something else, you know, so
yes, that,
a lot of people, you know.
They're paying for it from liabilities, not assets.
Yes.
So when you've built up, because you, I imagine your lifestyle before when you were, you know, you originally met, you got bought your house, were throwing all your money at it, was very different. And then now, just less than 10 years later, you're working from anywhere in the world. Yeah. You're going on these long trips to Africa and other places. And, you know, it's, and then you can, you know, you've got the potential to invest. So we've run, you know, we're coming short to time because there are so many more things that I would love to ask you. So I just encourage you, if you're listening and you're really interested in this, your best first step is actually to buy the book Financial Joy. You can go to Amazon and search for Financial Joy, or you can go to the Genius link, which is in the show notes, which is genie.us/financialjoy, and get the book, because that takes you through this. Is it 10 steps? 12?
Yes, it's a 10-week program. There are 10 steps effectively, of which the first one is for you to effectively paint a picture of what financial joy means to you, because it's different for everybody. And then there's step by step what to do week one, week two, week three. And each week covers a different thing. We can kind of walk you through, if it takes a minute, we can kind of walk you through what each week covers. But yeah, do you want to speak to that real quick?
Yeah, there's time.
What I would love is also to do that, but also I don't want to miss out on the, you know, the inspirational.
Let's do that. Okay.
So whichever, because I know that people will be getting the book, but you just tell me what you want.
Yeah, so essentially our book, Financial Joy, is for everybody. And we'd say that it's accessible to you now, not later. And so if you want to get started in your own personal financial journey, we can tell you to start today to grow your money, and you can actually create a life that you love. And whether you're a complete beginner to invest in, or you're currently living paycheck to paycheck, or you're in an overdraft, you're in debt, and you're stressed, or you're worried about preparing for retirement. You know, so many people have different, you know, anxieties or stress over finances. Or maybe you're just fed up with your career and you want to know how to stop running the rat race. Then whether you're on your own journey, basically our book, Financial Joy, would help to revolutionize your relationship with money and your lifestyle. Because it's a mind, it's all about the mindset and behavior. Yeah. And we cover that a lot in detail.
I'd add to that as well that I know it's easy for people to bury their heads in the sand because, like, we're all, you know, there's a lot going on economically and around the world. And it can feel like a lot of financial anxiety and a lot of stress. I think the key thing is to take out of this conversation the belief that you can change your financial destiny. And it begins with small steps, nothing too big, just small things like, okay, having a conversation with your partner if you've got one, or sitting down and almost asking yourself what you want out of your life for the next few years. Just those little bits of action will motivate you to begin to take some important steps, which is why, as Mary mentioned, we try to make the book a step-by-step process to help you on that journey.
Well, that is exactly how I wanted to sort of wrap up the episode, because that is what inspires me, is that you started the process of investing 13 years ago and you've totally transformed your lives. And all of that detail of how you did that is in the book. You know, we started only 7 years ago. Our investing journey has been different, but a lot of things, a lot of the values and things will still be exactly the same. And I found incredible value from the work that you do and the detail that you put out into your blog posts, your YouTube videos, and we'll have all the links for this below, and also the Financial Joy community, where not only do you meet up with people every single week to answer their questions and all of that, but you also meet in person, and it is a true community.
Yes.
Thank you. And it was an honor to, you know, have you in our community and actually meet you in person too.
Yeah.
And you offered a lot of value to us. So incredible. Thank you so much. Incredible value. So it's absolutely wonderful.
Well, thank you both, Ken and Mary. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you just think, oh, I just would love to share this part? If there's anything that you want to end with, just please do.
Yeah, I guess I'll just say it's just to keep positive. Mary and I have a saying, which is, we always say, she stay positive, stay practical, and stay prayerful. It's very important, you know, to almost bring together these two worlds of practicality and your faith journey, spiritual aspects of your life as well. For us, this has been a key part of almost our secrets to success. It's not really just based on like our willpower and stuff like that. You know, we believe in much more than that, you know. But always asking, and it's very personal, and everyone's different, but always asking God to lead us in everything we're doing, to guide us, to bless the work we're doing, to help to establish our path and stuff like that.
We pray for wisdom.
We pray for wisdom all the time, because life's challenging, you know, there's so many things that are going on. So just wanted to say that to encourage people out there, stay positive, stay practical, stay prayerful. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today and for bringing that, you know, the Christian spirit and the faith base to it as well. That's something we haven't talked about a huge amount. And I think that spiritual aspect is so important. So thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for joining with us. Thank you for writing your book, Ken and Mary. And thank you at home for listening and for watching. It's been great to have you with us. So until next week, believe bigger, be bolder, and be a game changer. See you next week. Bye for now. Thank you so much for being with me here today. If you would like more, we've written the number one best-selling book on rent to rent. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. Reviewers on Amazon have described it as the best rent to rent HMO book, and also as a definitive reference guide and inspirational. Take your next step today and buy the book. You can find it at renttorentsuccess.com/book. And I'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, believe bigger, be bolder, be a game changer.